You're listening to Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor, a podcast where we explore what it's like getting older, the peaks, the valleys, and everything in between. In this season of Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor, we're covering topics related to solo aging. I'm your host, Cheryl Proska. Let's grow old together. On today's episode, I'm joined by Sean Schmidt. Sean is the community liaison and social media manager at Suncrest Hospice, where the mission is to provide quality care and customer service to patients, families, and referring sources. Before working in the hospice industry, Sean held roles in pharmaceutical sales and community wellness education. Sean received a bachelor's degree in business administration and management from Moravian University and recently sat on the Lehigh Valley Aging in Place Coalition Board. Sean, welcome. Thank you for being here. How are you?
I am so great. Thank you so much, Cheryl. And thank you so much for having me be a part of this podcast today.
Well, I'm so happy to have you. So, Sean, you are joining me today to discuss how hospice provides a whole system approach to end-of-life care. We will cover the practical and emotional sides of death and dying, dispel myths about hospice care, and hopefully normalize the experience for our listeners. To ease us into the topic, let's start by learning how you got your start in hospice services.
So, such a great question. You know, when you think about hospice, it wasn't certainly something that I thought I was really interested in getting into, because I think with a lot of people, you think of the word hospice and it sounds very scary, sounds very fearful. It sounds maybe something that can be very depressing to be a part of. I had been in pharmaceuticals, like you had said, for a long time. I had been in different healthcare marketing roles. And I guess I just kind of woke up one day and I said, what can I do with my background in healthcare that provides me with something that's more meaningful and with more purpose in my day-to-day work life? And I took a chance on a job as a community liaison with a hospice company. And honestly, not only has it provided me with something that's so rewarding, to really be able to help patients and families in a very extremely overwhelming time of their life, but you learn so many lessons from from our patients and families are going through this. And you really learn to not take anything for granted, to enjoy every day and every moment. And there's so many things that I've learned about it that have truly been a gift to me.
You mentioned the feelings of fear and apprehension and being overwhelmed that surround hospice care. Yes. Can you give us an explanation of what the hospice experience may entail? Because it shouldn't be like that, and it doesn't have to be. And when you and I were prepping for this, you were explaining it to me, and I know it will really benefit our listeners to hear from you what hospice care should really look like.
100%. So first and foremost, it is probably a very normal feeling to have that fear and apprehension from a patient and from family, because there's so many, and I know at some point we can kind of go over the myths, but there's so many misunderstandings about hospice. It is, from my experience, a very overwhelming time in the family's life, the patient and the family. So hospice is not only there for comfort for the patient, but it's really for supporting the family. And I think that's one of the pieces that a lot of people don't realize, that the family is a huge component of the comfort of the patient as well. So we talk about the fear. I just kind of want to put it out there that there's often a fear of cost, right? That can be eliminated because just knowing that hospice is covered 100% by Medicare, oftentimes by Medicaid and VA and many private insurances as well. And I have, as I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, I am so passionate and excited to be able to talk with you about it. And I wrote some notes down, so I apologize if I'm looking back and forth because there's so much that I want to be able to share, and I truly don't want to miss anything. So sometimes I'll kind of look and glance back and forth at my notes, but just know that, you know, the fear also comes with, like I said, the cost, but there's so many things that are included with hospice as part of the benefit, which is, you know, certain medications and equipment that have to do with their diagnosis, supplies, maybe even incontinence supplies. So that fear of the cost is, you know, can be eliminated as well. But it's, we think of hospice, we think of maybe what experiences have been maybe from our grandparents, you know, years ago, or depending on the generation, a loved one from many, many years ago when they're put on hospice and it's such a quick situation and the patient ends up passing very quickly. So hospice then is so different than it is now. And so many things have evolved and we've learned so much. One of the things that we've learned is a patient's outcomes are so much better the earlier that they can be provided hospice care services versus waiting later. Sometimes waiting later is unavoidable. Something might happen, maybe a stroke or something happens that's very, very serious and the patient ends up just unfortunately passing quickly. But if that patient is eligible to take advantage of the hospice benefit, it's so much more beneficial for the patient and the family to get them onto care sooner. And when I think about, you know, the hospice experience, I think about not only is it for the patient, but we did talk, it is for the family as well. That hospice care team is really wrapping their arms around the patient and the family to not only help them medically, but help them, the patient medically, but help them with any emotional support that they may be needing, patient and family, during this time. Just trying to think too.
It sounds like it wouldn't hurt to explore hospice when it seems as if that might be one of the choices on the table. And just initially to learn some more, wrap your head around what it all entails versus putting off those scary feelings that might come with it, just so you are informed and really can make the best decision for yourself and or your loved one. Would you say that's true?
That's 100% true. And as I had mentioned earlier, just real briefly, studies have shown that if you can get the patient onto hospice sooner, the outcomes are better. So the earlier you can get somebody onto hospice, there's one study that just kind of I was reviewing that you actually could have a life expectancy of maybe 29 days longer on average, if you get that patient started earlier. And certainly there's ways to go about exploring the option. If your healthcare provider is presenting you with hospice as an option, and let's say your loved one who's the patient or the family, one or the other, or maybe both, just aren't ready and they just don't quite understand hospice quite yet. You can, and let's say the physician does feel that the patient is eligible for hospice, you can actually just do a hospice evaluation just to see if that patient does qualify for the hospice benefit. I always advocate to families and I always talk to healthcare providers to make sure that patients and families understand that hospice is an amazing benefit. And it is a benefit that they're, if they're eligible, they should for 100% take advantage of this benefit. It offers so many different, you know, pieces of it. Not only does it offer the team that comes out, it's supervised by a medical director. You have your nurse that is like the case manager, you know, covering that patient and caring for that patient. You have on-call nurses that are there to help those patients nights, weekends, holidays. It's a 24/7 availability. You have medications and supplies and equipment that are, you know, related to the hospice diagnosis and for symptom management that are covered. You have a chaplain, bereavement services. It's so comprehensive what this benefit can provide, and it's covered under Medicare. And I feel like what we see is once people start understanding that this is really a great option, they truly get it. And then, you know, they want to take advantage of that benefit. And oftentimes what we see is patients and families often saying, we wish we would have started this sooner. We wish we wouldn't have waited this long to start this hospice care. And sometimes patients actually, you know, they're always evaluated for eligibility throughout their whole time on hospice care. And sometimes they graduate off of hospice and they no longer qualify. And it can be upsetting to them because they lose those wonderful benefits. You know, they're sometimes so hesitant to go on, you know, onto hospice services. But then when you lose it, you realize how much you're missing and how much that you're getting from it. So I would encourage people just to keep an open mind about it, really explore options and, you know, take advantage of even just initially getting an evaluation assessment, just to know that that patient really is eligible under the Medicare requirements.
And of all the career choices someone could make, someone who is choosing to work in hospice care services is a compassionate person. So the people who will be meeting you at this time of your life are going to meet you with compassion. And I think if nothing else, to have that type of person on your side, on your team, in your life, that's going to make a difference during a tough time, especially.
100%. I mean, I can only speak for the team that I work with, and the majority of our team members have been, they wouldn't want to be working in any other field. They are truly compassionate and passionate about working in hospice. And sometimes that even stems from that person maybe having an experience with hospice prior to getting into hospice. For me, that is what had happened for me. My uncle had been on hospice, and I was able to see how there can be dignity and peace and comfort, but it's really about what the family thinks about, you know, after the patient has passed. And we all felt that he, you know, really had a wonderful hospice experience. And those are the things. And sometimes people will, you know, be on a team where they have just the opposite, and they want to be part of a team that provides an amazing hospice experience. So, you know, their motivations are a little bit different. But truly, at the end of the day, it really is about a team that is compassionate and feels like the work that they're doing is, you know, is so rewarding and meaningful every single day.
Pivoting a little bit.
Sure.
There's hospice care, yeah, and there's also palliative care. And I'll speak for myself. I have a hard time differentiating between, yeah, the two. And, I know that there's the theory of if I have a question, other people have a question. Yes. So might you be able to explain how hospice care does differ from palliative care?
Of course. And I want to be able to like word everything kind of specifically. So, you know, I will kind of look at my notes, but this has also been really a passion of mine because I have learned through my hospice experience that out in the community, there is so much confusion about palliative versus hospice. And even within our healthcare provider community, there's still a lot of confusion. And sometimes that gets obviously passed on to patients. And we are always so happy to, see healthcare providers and even other, resources in the community that are really knowledgeable about the difference of palliative versus hospice. So starting off, we can often think of palliative as part of hospice because palliative can often mean a managing of symptoms or pain. So you're, kind of palliating that patient. So palliative can be a part of hospice, but hospice, if this makes any sense, and I'll explain it, is not, palliative care is not hospice, but hospice care can be palliative. So what I mean by that is, and I'll kind of like read this, but hospice is for patients with a limited life expectancy who are no longer receiving curative treatments for any terminal illness. So that's really kind of one of the key words. Palliative care is a form of home health care in which patients face chronic or quality of life limiting illnesses. So it's focusing more on relief of pain, symptoms, and stress. And I will add to this because we see this many times when patients are transitioning from palliative care over to hospice. Palliative care often can also be used for goals of care conversations. Usually it's a nurse practitioner, sometimes a physician that is providing the palliative care. So these goals of care conversations are oftentimes relating to the disease progression. And sometimes when they're close to hospice or maybe even eligible for hospice, these goals of care conversations are helping that patient and family to kind of come to terms more with hospice. So patients can receive curative treatments while on palliative care. So that's a big difference because under hospice, you're not receiving any more curative treatments. It really is you have decided as a patient that aggressive therapy is no longer for you. You've really kind of come to the determination in your mind that maybe even going in and out of the hospital is no longer serving you well. And every time maybe you're going into the hospital, you're coming back with a little bit of a further decline and you're deciding, you know what, I might not want to go back and forth to the hospital anymore. So palliative can sometimes refer to hospice because hospice manages symptoms and focus on comfort. So hospice can be palliative, like I discussed, but palliative can't be hospice. So here's some other differences. So we talk about palliative care versus hospice care. The hospice benefit covers the entire team, which is under the direction of the medical director, the hospice nurse, the on-call nurse, social worker, the aides, the chaplain, bereavement support, medication supplies, equipment, 24/7 nursing availability. This is all what hospice would cover. So nights, weekends, holidays, you have an on-call nurse that is available to speak with you or come out to your home, wherever your home is. And that is also what the hospice benefit covers is that team comes to your home wherever you call home. So when I say that, I mean that sometimes it means your literal home, or maybe it means a home that now you've moved into, like maybe a senior living community, and that is now your home. So hospice will come to that. With palliative, it's typically run by a nurse practitioner, sometimes a nurse or a physician. Sometimes a social worker might be able to support that as well. Sometimes they can come to your home, but other times they'll do televisits. Many times patients need to go to a palliative care type of clinic. So those are some differences as well. I mean, our team is always coming to your home. That may not necessarily be the case with palliative. So the big differences are, you know, how they're used and what is offered. If someone's eligible for hospice and palliative care is being offered as an option, I would really recommend please weigh the benefits of what each can offer. And additionally, on top of that, with hospice, you know that you're getting the team that's coming in. With Suncrest, our aides are coming out, you know, 5 days a week. So those are really optimal aid visits that, you know, anybody can be, you know, receiving. With palliative, it's very different. If it's done telehealth, you know, maybe they can, you know, get in more of like weekly phone calls. But if it's done on a face-to-face, palliative companies they're very busy, and there's, you know, very few nurse practitioners that are providing care in any given company. So the frequency can sometimes be a challenge for, you know, those nurse practitioners to get out to patients on a frequent basis. So that can be a little bit of a hindrance if it's somebody that really is qualified for hospice, because you're really limiting your options on how frequent you get, you know, healthcare eyes on your patient, you know, you as a patient, or, you know, your loved one, you know, gets that, you know, medical check-in on a regular basis. So I hope I didn't, you know, talk too much about that, but I hope I kind of explained that a little bit better.
You explained it beautifully. And something that's really standing out to me are evaluating what are your goals of care?
Yes.
And helping that guide the decision that you're making. Because, and I reference this book throughout the podcast, Being Mortal. And some of that book focuses on the healthcare industry is geared toward keeping people alive. And it unfortunately can be at the cost of doing these aggressive treatments, which in turn could cause a person to pass away before going on maybe a palliative or a hospice plan, and have a higher level of comfort and peace. You don't have to go to the hospital, and you can be more in comfort. And the best decision is your decision that you make. It just, I go back to knowing your options. What is your goal? And having a team, you know, whether it's from your personal life or from the medical community, to surround you and support you. So just focusing on what your goal is, I think that really just struck a chord with me.
Yes, 100%. And I think that is, when you speak about that, that is, and as we kind of go into, you know, talking a little bit about myths, hospice myths, one of those hospice myths is, I don't want to give up hope. And, you know, we like to tell people that hospice is not giving up hope. It's really about learning about what your goals are. As a patient, you have probably come to the conclusion that you're giving up curative treatments because they're not, at some point they may not be helping, and they might be causing more harm than good. So, you know, what are your goals? You know, how do you want to live your best life with the time that you have? So a good hospice company is really going to focus and spend a significant amount of time helping the patient and the family figure out, like, talk through, like, what is that? You know, what, everybody's different. So what do those goals look like for you? And then as a hospice company, how do we help you achieve those goals? Like, what are the things that we can do for you as a patient and the family to make your end of life care, your journey, the most meaningful?
And I'm going to let you keep on going with your myths, and I can't wait to hear them all.
Yeah, 100%. So that was one of them. You know, a lot of people, one of the myths is they feel like they're giving up hope. The other one is hospice is only for 6 months and then that's it. You get taken off of hospice. That is not true. It is one of the things to help determine if a patient is eligible for hospice is, you know, does the healthcare provider think that based on the trajectory of the disease that the patient has 6 months or less? It's one of the determining factors. However, we have found that many people, especially with hospice on board, can end up, you know, living more than 6 months. Now there are checks and, you know, checks that Medicare does kind of put in place there. So there's benefit periods. And they check with every benefit period if a patient still qualifies for the hospice benefits. There's two 90-day benefit periods initially and then 60 days thereafter. So as long as that patient is still qualifying for hospice, they can continue on hospice. One of the other myths is, oh, the hospice is only for cancer. That's not true at all. There's so many other different diagnoses that come into play that make a patient eligible for hospice. It could be end-stage liver, heart failure, kidney, renal disease. It could be dementia, could be ALS, could be some like a stroke, something, you know, neurological. There's a lot of different diseases and diagnoses that come into play to be eligible for hospice. This is one. The next one is one that I hear so often. It actually surprises me every time I hear it, but I get it. And it just goes to show how we in the community are just not quite as educated yet with, you know, hospice. And so one of these myths is hospice is a place that I go to die. And, you know, so as I was kind of, you know, making my notes about this and doing my research, of course, I've known that hospice will go wherever the patient calls their home. So if it's like, as we talked about before, if it's in their physical home, that's where hospice will go. If it's in like a senior living community, that's where hospice will be. There are, you know, inpatient hospices or hospice houses. They're so few and far between that really 90% of hospice patients are patients who are in their home, you know, wherever their home, whatever they call their home. So that is a big myth, but we still hear it. Here's another one, which I love to address. All hospices are the same. So I will say that all hospices do follow certain baseline requirements that, you know, Medicare, CMS do, you know, they do ask for. But there are so many differences in hospice programs and the type of support that they provide. You know, does a hospice, you know, how many visits a week does the hospice provide? You know, what are some circumstances that would have the nursing come out more on a daily basis? What are some ancillary services that are provided? Music therapy, massage therapy, pet therapy. There's so much more that's involved. How involved is the team in, you know, really acting on what the goals are for that patient? You know, what kind of special things do they try to achieve and help that patient accomplish? The other myth is families have to pay for hospice care and it's expensive, which is completely not true. It's a Medicare covered benefit. Even Medicaid can be covering it. VA benefits can be covering it. And most private insurances also cover hospice. Hospice is only for the patient. And that is 100% not true. If hospice is done right and it's done well, the whole family is involved. That's what our, you know, not only do our nurses communicate with the family after visits, but the social workers are there. The, you know, bereavement support is there even prior to, but additionally 13 months after the patient has passed. So hospice is really there for families now, a patient is on hospice, but later as well. A couple more things that I quickly added, because I know that these come up in conversation. this is just a fact that you can keep your physician as your hospice physician. You don't have to give them up as long as that physician is willing to be your hospice physician. You are involved in your care. You are working with your nurses, you're working with your social workers, your family is involved with it. So you are completely part of that process. And the last one, you still keep your rights. I always feel like many times patients and families feel like when you go on hospice, you're giving up your rights. And that is completely not the case. You can choose to go off of hospice. You can choose to switch hospices. It is your right to choose the hospice that you want to go on. So you still do have many, many rights as a hospice patient.
Would you prefer to age independently in your own home or live in a nursing facility? I know what I'd rather do. Friends Life Care membership offers just that. Plan today for a future lived at home with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience while protecting your savings. Learn about your options at a free seminar or webinar. Register at friendslifecare.org/register or call 215-628-8964. I love how you keep mentioning the whole system approach. And I think now would be a great time if you could talk about Suncrest Hospice and your whole system approach to the end of life care. I'm thinking, and I believe you've mentioned the patient, their family, the hospice team, healthcare providers, and I'm sure there are more. So I'd love to hear that from you.
Yes, of course. So this is something that I'm really super proud of, you know, being part of Suncrest Hospice. And of course, we call it the Suncrest Difference. There's so many things that we do differently that are unique for us. First of all, I want to mention that Suncrest is a national hospice company. Currently, the office that I serve out of is the Philadelphia office. We opened our doors early last year, and we are currently licensed for about 9 counties surrounding. We're currently servicing Bucks and Montgomery County. So here are the things that really excite me. And I say this because I have background in the hospice industry. So I know when hospice is being done at a baseline requirement, and I know when it's being done at a much higher level. And it's such an honor to be able to speak about a company that provides so much more than just the baseline requirement. The first thing is what we call our Suncrest 7. It's a Suncrest 7 hospice model. We visit more. So every single patient is given 5 days a week aid care, which is huge on so many different levels. It's huge for the patient because they are getting that additional eyes on every single day. It's huge for the family knowing that that's what the patient's getting. It's wonderful for us as a company because we build that rapport with our patient so much faster, and it's so much more meaningful than, you know, maybe doing a visit once a week or twice a week or even 3 times a week. Now, understanding that not every single patient is going to want 5 days a week. Sometimes you get a patient who is eligible for hospice, maybe a cancer patient, but they're still at that point where they're very independent. They don't need an aide to come in. That's okay. You don't have to have that. But the majority of our patients are willingly, you know, taking the 5 days a week aid care because it's a really incremental part of, you know, helping the patient with personal care needs, even something as simple as just that extra time to do that time one-on-one with extra companionship. So on top of that, we have 2 nursing visits every single week, which are standard. So above and beyond that, we have a program that's called STARS, which in my experience, so what it is the nurses are increasing their visits. daily. And not only the nurses decrease their visits, but, you know, the chaplain and the social worker come in to assess and to see if they need to increase their visits as well. But these are nursing visits that they can do weekly when something just, you know, changes. Like there's a new symptom that's not being managed or a medication that can't be managed and you need to get them stable. This is a game changer because it's so much different than, oh, maybe we're going to have the nurses come out the last 3 days of somebody's life. That's not what this is. Yes, we're doing that, but we are doing something, you know, providing more care, more frequent care by our nurses way earlier than that. And once that patient does get stable from that symptom or from that medication, they can be taken off of STARS and gone back to their regular visits. But to be able to offer this for hospice patients is really a game changer. You know, we have a highly qualified care team. As I mentioned before, so many people from our team are, you know, have years and years of hospice experience. The other thing that I love that we do differently is our on-call nurses, they're obviously available nights, weekends, holidays. If there's, you know, something that a patient needs, obviously a question can be answered or the nurse can go out there. When that phone call is made, they are getting the nurse. They're not getting a triage. We'll let the nurse know that, you know, you've called and we'll have them get back in touch with you. They're actually speaking with that nurse who could potentially be coming out to see them. That's huge. That's also, you know, wonderful extra that's provided. Of course, you know, we talked about bereavement support. It's offered for 13 months for families, you know, after a patient passes. But, you know, we're also there helping out the communities, you know, the communities that we're working with, senior living communities, offering bereavement support for, you know, residents there or for staff members that, you know, maybe there were a lot of recent deaths and, you know, we're there to provide like a bereavement type of workshop or grief type of service to help with coping as well. Emotional support is so very huge. And I know that many hospices have social workers, but it's, you know, what is it that you're, what support are you truly providing? I can just give you examples of support with family dynamics that our social worker team, you know, our whole team has been able to navigate through. And what a game changer for the patient and the family when a divided family actually comes together before their loved one's death. And what a peaceful death that is now for that patient, knowing that their family came together prior to their mom's, you know, to their, you know, loved one's passing. So there's so many more elements to this. You know, it's bereavement chaplain support, bereavement support is part of the spiritual support, even ancillary services. Music therapy is phenomenal. Yesterday was music therapy day. So we actually honored our music therapist, but acknowledged all, you know, music therapy, you know, methods that around the world that are there to help patients that are suffering, and how a trained music therapist can truly connect on so many different levels with patients through different types of techniques. So it's way more than just, I'm going to sing a couple songs for you, or I'm going to play, you know, the instrument for you, whatever. No, it's way more involved in that. So there are some really beautiful moments and some connections made through music therapy, massage therapy, you know, pet therapy can be, you know, added in as an ancillary service as well. So, you know, there are so many things that, you know, we can offer through Suncrest. And, you know, one of the other things is, you know, we like to say at Suncrest, we give back, and we say that because this is part of our days of caring. You know, we like to say that it's kind of like a make-a-wish, but it's part of how we, our social workers and our whole entire team, we go back to understanding what those goals of care for each individual and family are, and then really listening and paying attention to what it is that they want to achieve, you know, while they're still with us, and what are those things that we can make happen for them. So I can go on with like so many experiences, whether it's, you know, somebody wanted to go to a casino, or somebody wanted a special dinner with their loved one, a romantic dinner with, you know, their husband or their wife, their special food, or somebody wanted to go to a show or a beach trip. Like the list goes on and on and on. Everybody has different goals and different things that they want. And sometimes if they're physically not able to do it, how do we get creative and figure out how to bring that to them where they are? So sometimes that's even a little bit more of a challenge, but you know, we're able to kind of think out of the box and make those things happen for them as well. So it's a lot, but there's so much that we offer.
And everything you're talking about that Suncrest Hospice offers reminds me of the five wishes document. And it's something I filled out with some members of my family that goes into what do you want the end of your life to look like? Right. And because you mentioned so much, you mentioned music, that's in the five wishes. You mentioned massage, that's in the five wishes. So just, I'll link to that document in the show notes, but it, that just keeps coming up for me. And to have someone who, you know, me going through it with my family members, fine, I'm not a clinical person. I can only imagine how much better it would be to go through it with someone who can actually fulfill some of those things and is educated to listen to indicators as someone is saying what they might want or not want to help guide them through it. So that's what's coming up for me at least.
Yeah, 100%. And I always tell people, because I do so many patient educations on hospice to patients and family members, and sometimes it's just the family members that sit in on the conversation. But oftentimes, what I really emphasize about hospice care is the social worker, that emotional support component. Yes, that medical piece of it is huge. Managing, you know, that diagnosis, that the pain, the symptoms, that is a huge piece of it. But I think people don't realize until they start with hospice how crucial the social worker piece of it is. Because oftentimes, you know, you think of yourself as so overwhelmed when you, a family member, when you're thinking about, you know, going ahead and getting them started onto hospice, but you don't realize all of the questions that are going to come up, all those questions that you're going to have as that patient is, you know, moving along their journey, and, you know, how you're navigating that and how you're coping with that. And I always say that this, that emotional support, that social worker piece of it is so crucial to helping to navigate all of those issues, because you're not even going to know what to ask when you start until you start on the journey and on that process with them. And they're there for you, for the family, for the patient, obviously, but for the family to really hold your hand and navigate you through all of that.
We touched on my next question, but I do think it would be beneficial to directly express it. At the end of hospice care, when someone passes away, what feelings is the employees, the staff at Suncrest Hospice Care trying to impart to the loved ones of that individual?
So are you saying like after the patient has passed?
After the patient has passed, because when someone passes away, it can hit people very differently. With everything that they might be going through, you talked about trying to bring families together and the feelings that there might be. I think I'm trying to assign some feelings to what your organization services are trying to impart on the loved ones when their loved one passes away.
Of course, I completely understand you. I think the goal is to hope that the family feels that their loved one had a peaceful, comfortable time on hospice, but that if they're placed on hospice early enough, that the family can look back and say, we understood what mom, dad's goals were, and hospice was able to help them achieve that. I think it's a feeling of knowing that the family feels that not only was their loved one comfortable and got to achieve what they wanted to achieve in that time that they had, but that the family also was able to just feel that confidence and be comfortable knowing that their loved one was able to achieve that. So it's so much more than, well, I know their pain and their symptoms were managed, because that's important too, but it's so much more than that. So, you know, I wrote like a little note here saying that the goal is for families to feel that they lived well during the end of life journey, that their goals were met. And it just so happens that I had found something in one of our Suncrest brochures that, you know, what, you know, they're saying is, when you can't add to your life more time, let Suncrest give the time you have more life. So you think about that, right? And I got goosebumps when I said it, and I got goosebumps when I read it before. But that to me, just like you said, that to me is beautiful. At the end of the day, any hospice can come in and fill the hospice requirements, their baseline requirements. But the goal is really to provide those meaningful, positive, joyful moments and experiences, because it's really for those that are left behind that those are our memories as well of our loved one having those beautiful moments, you know, whether it's brought by music therapist or, you know, the chaplain comes in and maybe sings, you know, some hymns and gives some, you know, powerful words, or a special moment that the nurse and the patient had, you know, even speaking about, you know, maybe a patient loves a certain song and the nurse will put that song on to help relieve some anxiety. There's so much more to this. And so what we want for our families is to feel that their loved one had these beautiful, peaceful, memorable moments, and their life, even at the end, was really well lived.
Sean, we have solo agers who listen to the podcast.
Yes.
What guidance might you have for this cohort when considering hospice care?
Yes. So obviously for them, if they're solo agers, now, you know, maybe they're living in a senior living community, you know, so that at least they have extra support in a senior living community. Maybe they're living at home. I'm not sure, you know, by themselves. Obviously, explore if they are eligible. And this option has come up with their healthcare provider, that they are eligible for hospice. And certainly they have the right to advocate for themselves as well. That they, if they feel that they are hospice appropriate, and their doctor maybe has indicated that that is an option, they can advocate for themselves to get that evaluation. Certainly speak to somebody from hospice, such as myself, who can do patient education consultations. You know, no obligation there. It's a free resource that I certainly am always happy to do. And if they're alone, obviously you would want to choose a hospice that's going to give you the optimal amount of visits that you can get. You know, knowing that there are different hospices out there and they provide different types of care. And you're alone, you know, you might be a candidate for somebody who really wants to seek out a hospice that is, you know, the aides coming in every single, you know, 5 days a week during the week. And of course, you know, hospice, being on board with hospice, they will really help navigate and help you cope as somebody who is alone, as a solo ager, really help you cope with those additional emotional stressors that are involved when you are aging solo. So you really have almost this built-in family in your hospice team that really can be an extension of, you know, you and your needs and you know what you're looking for.
Sean, what final thoughts would you like to leave our listeners with about hospice care?
So, and thank you for giving me the time to do some final thoughts. Of course, I'm so passionate about this, and I wanted to like just write some notes down as well, because it's really, I really just want to impart some, you know, final thoughts on what hospice care is. So hospice is an amazing benefit, and it's your right to take advantage of the benefit if eligible for hospice. A lot of people don't realize that we have been paying into this benefit for as long as, you know, ever since we've started working. So it is our right. And we do, you know, we can take advantage of that. I can tell you through the years of my experience that people will say that they wished they had started hospice care sooner, once they realize all that's involved and everything that includes, they wish they would have started it sooner. I will reiterate that starting sooner rather than later provides better outcomes. I know we talked about that before. The process to get started with hospice is relatively easy. You need an evaluation done by a hospice RN, hospice nurse, to determine eligibility. To get an evaluation, you simply need an order from a doctor and some additional paperwork. To get started, you need to be eligible, of course, and hospice consents need to be signed. I know I talked also about this before, but not all hospices are the same. And, you know, there can be many differences between a hospice that provides just that baseline of requirements versus a hospice that, you know, might provide more care, more visits, extra additional ancillary services. Something that I really want people to know is you have the right to choose the hospice that you want. You have the right to always go off of hospice. If you feel like it's not working for you, you have the right to even switch hospices. So oftentimes people think that they don't have rights as a hospice patient, but you certainly do. Our company, I mentioned before, is a national company. We are in the Philadelphia area. We are currently serving Bucks and Montgomery County. But I have done so many years of hospice education to so many patients and families. So I'm more than willing and more than happy to help anybody navigate through, you know, what hospice is. No obligation. It's a free resource. Always feel free. You can reach out to me. I will give you my office number right now, which is 484-351-6620. Call anytime. You know, we're happy to walk you through that. Lastly, you know, I know we talked about this before, but I really want to make sure as final thoughts that people understand that the value of hospice care, know the value of hospice care that treats the whole family. It's so important. And somebody had quoted this, and I didn't jot their name down, but I did jot the quote down. Endings matter, not just for the person, but even more for the ones we leave behind.
Sean, thank you for leaving us with that beautiful quote and for being in this conversation with me. Hospice care and end of life can be taboo topics that I feel privileged to have brought to light with you today. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm so privileged to be able to have this podcast with you, this time with you. I really appreciate being able to share this hospice information with you. It's really been an honor.
Thank you to Sean Schmidt for joining us today. You can learn more about Sean on LinkedIn and Suncrest Hospice on Facebook, LinkedIn, and their website, suncrestcare.com. If you like our show, please rate, review, subscribe, and join us next time. To learn more about aging with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience, subscribe to our blog at friendslifecare.org/blog.